Living Your Soul's Journey with Dr. Vicki airs every Sunday night on BBS Radio. Go to her website at www.livingyoursoulsjourney.com and fill out the Freedom to Be Me journal to get your free 20-minute session with Dr. Vicki. She offers various counseling sessions as well as the life-changing soul rejuvenation to guide you to live authentically on your soul's journey. If you lose it when you meet a guy and simply want to learn to be independent, free and happy in or out of a relationship, then listen each Sunday night to Living Your Soul's Journey with Dr. Vicki and join her on Living Your Soul's Journey on Facebook.
Welcome to Living Your Soul's Journey. I am Dr. Vicki, and tonight we are going to be talking about our emotions. And I have a very special guest this evening. Her name is Reverend Sandy Hayes, and she's going to be joining us shortly. I want to just say our emotions, well, it's just simple. They can either control us or we can use them as monitors for what is really going on in our life. And so many times people say, well, I really don't know how I feel about that. Oh, if that's what we're going to be talking about, because it's in your heart. You can feel it in your body. You can feel if it's right, or you can feel it if it is wrong. Even if you are not trusting your feelings, you get a sense of what is going on. We're going to be talking about that because emotions have to do with records and patterns, and it's not just what we remember, but our emotions can be affected by what we don't remember or what's in our subconscious. And that's where I specialize in working with folks. I actually work on the subconscious part of people as well as the conscious, and I connect that with the God or the superconscious. So I work with the conscious, the subconscious, and the superconscious is what I call God, spirit, the universe. And so when you combine those three together, that for me is how I counsel and I work with situations. And we'll get an insight from Reverend Sandy when she joins us as well. Now, what's so fascinating is that I started looking up in preparation for the show this evening, some, you know, just information about what others had said about emotions. And I think this summed it up for me personally. It was from Dalai Lama and says, as human beings, we all want to be happy and free from misery. We have learned that the key to happiness is inner peace. The greatest obstacles to inner peace are disturbing emotions such as anger, attachment, remember attachment, fear, and suspicion, while love and compassion and a sense of universal responsibility are the sources of peace and happiness. And if you will remember back in May, I talked about the law of attachment. And the law of attachment basically says if you attach to the outcome of whatever it is, and you say it's going to happen this way and it's going to happen that way, and you say this is going to happen and this is going to happen, and you're very controlling on it, well, that is when the law of attachment comes in. And if it doesn't work out exactly the way we think it should, forget about spirit there, because we're going to do it our way. That's when we get the misery. That's when anger comes up. And it's amazing that we have the tools to really understand this. But what it happens is that we have a lot of subconscious issues, things that are not seen to us. So we may get upset because, oh, I don't know. We may get upset because we see something that maybe you wouldn't be bothered by. Maybe a friend says something and calls me a bear. Well, you know, I don't know why that would upset me personally, but let's just say it does. Well, I don't know what may have happened in earlier lives, sometime earlier in my childhood, this life, that something to do with a bear may have upset me. So when some friend calls me a bear, I just get all upset about it. Well, that's, you know, I'm making this up, of course. But what I'm trying to say is that you may look at that and you may say, a bear? Why would she care if a bear? Somebody called her a bear. How adoring, or a teddy bear or something. But it isn't about rational. it isn't rational what we get upset about necessarily. Sometimes it's very rational. I mean, if your husband runs out on you and you get upset, that's pretty rational. I mean, I think that's a normal way to do it, to be upset. But at the same time, that's when you have to take that upset and think and look at it for yourself. This is the key to everything, y'all, is looking at the emotion that you're angry at. Your husband left you, okay? Wow. I mean, he ran out on you. I mean, yeah, if you didn't get some sort of emotion from that, I would question if you're even addressing it. But the key, once you get rid of all that, you know, and I'm not saying anger and upset is bad. I'm talking about it's the greatest obstacles to inner peace if we don't get a handle on it. So I don't want you to take this hour that we spend and say, well, I can't have any emotions. No, emotions are the key to revealing what we need to work on. Now, I had something to happen today that I got a little upset about. And, you know, it's irrelevant what it is, but I kind of got very sad about it. And I looked at that and I thought, wonder why I'm really sad about this. I didn't get angry. I just got sad. And then I had to go really take a long walk. I had to go pick up my daughter from camp. So I had plenty of time to really look at it. And I made the decision to sit down and have a conversation about what had happened. And after the conversation was over, I wasn't angry. I wasn't upset. I was just like, wow, what a gift. Of course, I'd already gotten the gift anyway earlier. But the gift was a chance to move on in peace in a way that I had not felt before. And so for that moment in time where I was sad, it no longer was sadness for me. It was no longer a sad period of time. It was like, wow, am I amazed that, you know, this is so great. So I'm gonna ask Doug also to check on Sandy. Reverend Sandy just said that she tried calling in and she couldn't get in, or she heard me playing or something. So Sandy, if you'll go ahead and try calling in again, we'll see what we can do. I think you're listening here. So, oh, okay. Great. So I will tell her to call in again, because I think there was a little niche in the phone there for a minute. So I'm telling her to call in now. So aren't we happy that we have so many electronic devices like phones and computers that we can communicate with? It's awesome. So Reverend Sandy Hayes will be joining us shortly. So we just had a little niche with the phone there for a second. So anyway, when we look at our emotions, it's not, y'all, that I want you to be emotionless. I see, you know, I see people that never change emotions, and I don't trust those kind of people, because I have to tell you, anytime that you have a human life, you're going to have emotion. But I think the key is to be in control of those emotions in a way of understanding. There's the key right there. It's the key that when you have emotions that are out of your control and out of your ability to understand them, that is when things get very, very strange. That's where wars start, when, you know, it's my religion, not your religion. And I saw something on Facebook that I thought was fascinating. This causes so much anger. Religion and politics, as you all know, cause a lot of anger. I don't try to get into either one of them. But I saw something that said, somebody wants us to have religion in the schools. And then the comment was, well, whose religion do you want? Because if you use one person's religion, then they're going to get angry. And then you have to really look at the control. Are you with us, Sandy, Reverend Sandy?
I am here. Hello.
Welcome. We had, you know what happened? I'll just flat out tell everybody. We thought we were going to be off tonight, and but we're here. So it was just, you know, and then the phone doesn't answer when I'm not there. So I just apologize for that, Miss Sandy, but we're happy to have you on tonight. And did you hear a little bit about what I said about Dalai Lama?
I heard what you said about wanting someone wanting religion in schools, but then what religion would we choose? And it just went through my mind that if everybody would simply come from love, and if they worshiped in silence a moment and said their prayers and reached for the divine the best they can in silence, I think the best thing we can do is come from love and be tolerant of other people's beliefs.
Well, let me just tell you, that's just what Dalai Lama was saying, that the greatest obstacles to inner peace are disturbing emotions such as anger, attachment, fear, and suspicion, while love and compassion and a sense of universal responsibility are the sources of peace and happiness. Now, I want to share something, and I want to get your viewpoint on this since you're my guest tonight. And if I didn't get a chance to introduce you. To everyone, Reverend Sandy Hayes has been, I think you're a Reverend of Science of Mind, correct? Is that correct?
No, even though I'm a person who, as long as a person reaches for the divine creator the best they can, I consider myself a non-denominational Christian. I was brought up as a Christian, but I'm very tolerant of other people. And Christ, when he walked this earth, he taught greater things than I've done can you also do. And he taught, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And my belief mainly runs in that vein. So I'm no particular religion.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I just wanted to introduce you as we've been friends, and I was on my walk today, and I was like, I think we've been friends for 15 years, and I got a little nudge, and I said, I think it's a little longer than that. I actually think we've been friends for a very long time, even about 20 years.
Over 20 years.
Yes. And I want to say to you personally that I have only, very few people can say they've had a friend that long, that even if they didn't talk every year, they would still just pick up where they left off and everything would be friends. You know, it's just, it's beautiful. So I thank you for joining. You've been such a contributor to the show throughout the months. And I just really wanted to get your input on emotion because it's your idea for this show, by the way. It was your idea to talk about emotions and how they can affect us in relationships. And something that you had mentioned, if someone as a child says something to somebody, you know, you were talking about that. So, you know, we're not talking about anybody in particular, just generally. Talk to us a little bit about your thoughts on that. You know,
okay.
I
have read and I have heard, and I wish I could quote it exactly and name the person, the original person who wrote this. But teach a child in the way they should be brought up until like age of five, and they won't turn away from it. And I can tell you that when a child comes from a very rough background and they're not nourished and emotionally, and one parent plays the other parent, they play against each other, the child is the one who suffers. And I personally know of a situation where the child was the pet of the father, and he adored her, and he was very good to her, and he had actually been a war hero. And when he came back from the war, like so many of our boys, he was so damaged and had so much emotional pain that he drank to hide the pain. But like so many, when a person drinks too much, it kills that part of your mind that spirit communicates with, and he would get violent. And the mother seemed to never forgive the child long since she had been done with the child's father. Then the child kept loving the father. And it was almost as if part of her hated the child, and anything that went wrong in that child's life or anything that child said, the other children and the mother would just practically emotionally beat that child down. And anyway, the child grew up feeling very emotionally whipped, not wanting to be around other people, not trusting other people, hurting so badly. And then, as a matter of fact, it's someone you have talked to often, and you helped her realize that walking through this life, we all have scars and we all have things we have to overcome, and that regardless of what's happened yesterday, it's up to us to take responsibility for our lives. And our emotions are like shadows that you can walk through. Like one of the examples that I'm thinking of, I read about, was the way they fish over in a certain part of Africa where there's a very clear stream. The natives will pull out planks strung together with string, and the sun shining through makes it appear that there are bars on the in the water, and the fish will swim to the, instead of swimming through, it's just shadows, they'll swim to the shallows and they'll get caught trying to hide. And our emotions are a lot like that. We can walk through them, we can get out of our comfort zone, and if we keep doing this, it's not that we'll never get hurt, but it's usually quite bright on the other side. And that's when we can accomplish things. And that's my thoughts on that, Dr. Vicki.
Well, that's awesome. I was reading something about that because, you see, we create our own, of course, now for the fish right there, it was their, you know, the way that the intellectual folks, I guess, set it up for them. But it's fascinating to me because of the fear and the expectations that we put on things. Now, getting back to that religion earlier, it's the fear. And I was in a group that had great fear over anybody finding out about them. So what they did, as many cults do, is that they take that and keep their members away from society. They can't listen to the news. They can't watch TV. And they're given reasons for this because they have fear of what will happen if anybody really found out the truth of them. And I also wonder sometimes about attachment. That is such a big thing. I think one of the things that happened to me today, Reverend Sandy, without going into detail, is I had a certain attachment on something that was going on in my life, and I really did not realize I had an attachment of meaning that I had an expected outcome that I was thinking that would be an outcome for something personally in my life, and it didn't happen. And so when it didn't happen, it was like, oh, I just had an attachment. And I just had a thought of what was going to happen there, and it didn't happen that way. Wow. I could see instantly how that brought sadness, and it was extremely upsetting in the sense of, and I say extremely upsetting and kind of exaggerating, but it brought a bit of suspicion. Because I was like sitting there thinking, and the first thing that we do, y'all, and this is where the healing comes in, and I want everyone to listen. Whenever we get an upset in our lives, regardless of who it's from, whether it's your husband, your friend, your neighbors, whatever, you have to look within yourself. And I'll go ahead and give you an example of what happened. Okay. I have, it is so simple when you hear it, I want your viewpoint on it, on Reverend Sandy. We have a very small POA, you know, Property Owners Association, and everybody pays money every month, every year to it, very little amount of money. And so I have been asking for months and months to communicate with somebody. Everybody up where I live wants to kind of be by themselves. They don't really want a lot of strong communication. But I really wanted to talk to somebody about some data that I had on our roads. And I just wanted to see the accounting of where the monies were going, to give some ideas, you know, Well, I'm telling you, as soon as I requested that, everybody shut down. Nobody will talk to me. Nobody will talk to me. Yeah, I know. I know. So, you know, I got a little upset. I was like, I'm paying money in to this place, and then you know how I resolved it? I said to myself, well, this is what I want to share with everybody. Instead of going through upset and anger and fear and suspicion and thinking, wow, I wonder what's going on here that nobody will communicate with me, that I've given them my phone numbers, they won't call me back. And I thought to myself, you know, let it go. That's not your decision. Pay your money. They're doing a good job. The roads are staying in good shape. And they cut down the trees if there's a storm. And that's about all they can do. I already know the county will not pave our roads, and I know why they won't. I've given them that legal advice, and nobody seems to care, even though they asked me to do it. So I thought to myself, well, you know what? You can sit here and get all upset and get fear and suspicion. Maybe they're stealing money. You know, maybe this is going on. Maybe that's going on. And I thought to myself, well, what does it matter to me if it is? They're doing their job. They're doing a good job. They're, you know, everybody complains about it, but they're doing a good job. You know, I can still drive the roads, and I never have to chop a tree down when they fall. So what are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts are this. If someone is actually watching that road, and like most of the time there may not be anything to do, but other times when there's been a storm and there are trees down, they might have to work overtime to get it cleaned up, or if a repair needs to be done, they may have to work very hard to do that. And to be responsible for watching out for your road, you said you pay a little each year is all you pay. Whoever is responsible for that, if they are making a little bit of money sometimes in order to take this responsibility on their shoulders, a man or a woman, they're worth their hire. And I think you're wise to just let it go. And if they won't communicate with you, and if there are any ill intentions about that, then it's their karma. And just, you know, you did the right thing. Just let it go.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't an issue of whether they were getting paid. They should get paid, and they do get paid. But I just, as a businesswoman, kind of wanted to know if we had extra money so that I had some good ideas for the road. And I wanted to sit down with everybody, and I wanted to say, well, listen, let's look at the money we've got, and let's see how we could plan ahead to do these kind of improvements. But nobody was interested. So I thought to myself, you know what? Let it go. Now, that's what I'm talking about. Those are the kinds of things. And after I let it go, it was like, oh, wow, I feel so much better now. You know, pay your dues and just let it go. They're doing their job. You do your job. And hopefully everybody can be, you know, happy. And
new ideas are something that I've found that most people don't want to take the time to even listen to. I think that's why at times it's so hard to change things for the true better. You know, it's hard. Mm-hmm.
Well, I was reading something today. Now, I know, Reverend Sandy, that you're going to be on TV soon. I just feel it. That's just my intuitive impression, okay? And I was reading today in the Daily Word. It's a Unity Daily Inspiration that comes in, and it was talking about actors spend hours rehearsing and learning their lines and getting help, you know, from technicians to get everything just right. And they dive into the accent and the movements and the motivations of the character. And after the performance, the actor just sheds all of that persona and becomes himself again. And I was looking at that today, and I said, you know, this is what I want to talk about. Because in some aspects of our lives, we keep performing as an actor. And we do not become authentic because we have fear of what people or attachments of what we're supposed to be like. And it's very much like I was sharing with somebody the other day. They were saying, you know, something to the effect of, well, I don't know if I can do that. Oh, my gosh. And I'm thinking to myself, you don't know that you can't do it. Because the truth is, that is the most freeing when they go and do what they wanted to do, even though they had fear there, it will free them in a way that they've never, ever known before, because they're valuing their authenticity. And when they value their authenticity, they're valuing the very essence of what God put them on earth for. And I just thought that was fascinating, the way that it would be using a Bible verse that they used. It said, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." And they referred to John 8:32. And I thought that was fascinating, the way that they view, you know, everybody views the Bible the way they want to view it, I suppose. That's my viewpoint anyway. And I'm not a biblical person. But if you know the truth of who you are, I mean, really know the truth and be your authentic self, how more empowering can that be? You know what I'm saying?
It can be empowering, but I found that there are few people that I can really be myself around, because I'm sort of a different kind of bird. And if I start relaxing, I am literally like a cross between a little girl in an older woman's suit, wearing an older woman's suit, and an overzealous puppy. You know, just "I love you, I love you, I love you," just jumping around, and I'm playful, and that for a grown up, you expect that more from a child. And so most of the time I have to make myself tone it down, because it crosses the line for what our society considers appropriate behavior. I know that I'll grow old, and one of my prayers, as a matter of fact, is that I'll live past 120 in good health and happiness, because I figure it's going to take me at least that long to get it right. And I'll grow old, but I don't think I will ever, in my heart and my soul, grow up. I don't think I will. I just play, and that's one of the reasons I like being alone with my dog, or sometimes even my husband, is because my husband allows me to be myself, and he enjoys hearing me play. I can be myself, but it's time to come out and stop hiding my light under a bushel, and just try under a bush, whatever they say that is, you're hiding your light under. Anyway, I've hidden my light so long that my hair's almost caught on fire, and it's time to come out and at the very least try. Whether or not I'll be on TV, I don't know for sure. I just know that I used to think that that was my only dream, really, as a child. I would pretend like I was an actress, or I was a comedian, or I was a singer, and I would just play that all the time. And then I never reached for it, because I thought it was too good to be true. And I finally realized that through God, all things are possible, and nothing is too good to be true. And I can respect myself for getting out there and trying.
Yeah, well,
so I'm going to try, Miss Dr. Vicki. Here I am.
Well, you just said something, and I want to validate you for that, because you said, "I don't know that I'll be on TV or not, but I have my dream." And what you're doing out there is you're putting out the effort. You know, you're doing the steps in the physical universe. It's like selling a house. Reverend Sandy, you can sell a house, but if you keep it in a mess, you know, you may not get as much for it, or you may not, you know, you got to present it in a way, and you've got to do your job and then surrender it. And you may not, you know, I'm not saying you will or will not be on TV, but that's what's so beautiful, is that you're saying you're not going to attach to it. I actually know that whatever's supposed to happen will happen the most beautiful way. It may even be better than something like that. It might be even be better than what either you or I can even imagine, if we surrender it and don't attach to it and don't have fear with it. Then wow, the door is open.
Yes.
You know,
I am opening the door the best I can.
Yes.
And if it happens, It'll be like Christmas time. Oh my goodness gracious, I'll just be the happiest thing in the world. If it doesn't happen, I'll just be the happiest thing in the world because I'm out there playing. I'm going to play with it. I'm going to keep reaching for my dreams. I've decided to be so optimistic that if I find horse manure in my Christmas stocking, I'm going to start looking around for my horse.
That's so good. Well, I can just personally, if I were a casting director, I would want to cast you because I'm going to tell you why. It's because you do have that playfulness. And that's what's so funny about some of these ads that you see on TV, some of these commercials. And I am going to promote you for a little bit because I know in the few times that I did commercial auditions, the first thing they would do is they'd just put the camera on you and they'd say, play with this. Play with this mother-daughter scene. Play with you cooking in the, play with this scene. And then you improv and right there on the tryout for the commercial. And, it's adorable. But I will have to tell you something funny I did one time. And you will appreciate this. I'm sure Paul would just like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe that. But there was an audition for an ad for a lady that was in the milk days, you know, where they churned the milk, where they had the long bonnets and the long dress, the what do you call those kind of dresses? They were like Western dresses back in the 1800s. Well, all the people actually, except for me, went to the audition. There probably were 20 of us. And they all dressed normal, but they had the character. They had the character down. Well, I didn't have the character down, but I had the dress down. I went to a costume place and came out looking like the lady that I thought I was supposed to be. It was hysterically awful. It was just I mean, you're supposed to have
I can just see you as a milkmaid.
Can't you? But I didn't have the character down. You see, I didn't. I had it switched out. If I'd had the character down, I wouldn't have gotten the audition. But one thing that I wanted to talk to you about is that when we get a control of our emotions, that is what, and I was talking earlier, Reverend Sandy, that's what I work on, is I work on the subconscious, is that part of us, and you liked about, the Rohan, that's the subconscious. Then you work on the conscious part, which we're all aware of. Well, we're not always aware of what we're doing, but, if you have a daughter like I do, she'll make you aware of what you're doing because she's very astute about that. And it's your help, like you help Paul, and I'm sure Paul helps you with being aware of things that we do in the physical. But when you connect that with the superconscious, and that's what I call, God or spirit or the universe, whatever your terms are, then you connect all those up together. You got yourself a control over your emotions. And when you have that control over your emotions, at that point in time, I'll tell you what I was talking about, and I don't know that you heard this, but I was saying, if your husband cheats on you and you don't get upset about that, then there's something wrong. Would you not agree with that?
Yeah, almost definitely.
So I'm not saying, take your emotions and throw them away as if there's some bad thing. I mean, I know groups that shun on emotion, but at the same time, when you find that, then you have to look within yourself and look at the upset. You can't control whether he runs out on you or not. That's not something you can control. But you can certainly control how you see it, what could come from it, how it affects your life, what's your responsibility, not toward that situation. But, talk to me about your thoughts on that.
My thoughts are simply this, and I will tell you, I love my husband very much. I feel like God himself put us together to help each other heal. He is my best friend in the world. But if he were to decide to leave me for somebody else, I would wish him well. Pack his bags and just tell him, God bless you. I guess our journey together is over. Go for it. And if he's happy, as long as they didn't try to take my dog, I'm okay with it. And that might sound cold, but that is honestly how I feel about it. I am over having that kind of jealousy. You know, I'm grown past that. To me, jealousy is not love. And would it hurt? Yes, not as bad as it would have last year, because I feel like I'm spiritually growing and getting better in all ways. But that would be my attitude on it.
Well, good for you. And I'll give you a personal example. In my life, I didn't recognize alcoholism. My parents drank, and I just didn't recognize. I'd never been around an alcoholic. Okay, so mm-hmm. I never ever recognized it. But there's a dishonesty in that as well, because when you see somebody drinking it in the morning, and you see mm-hmm. them drinking all during the day, and mm-hmm. you have to be aware, I mean, that they're an alcoholic, and you can't shun it, and you can't criticize them for it. But at the same time, when you see that, and sometimes it's too late, you've already married them, you know, because they've hidden it so well. And, you know, alcoholics tend to hide things. But once you know it, then at that point in time, you want to get mad at them for what they've done to you. But the truth is, you must have known, not you personally, but me, anybody, somewhere along the way that this person was drinking a lot, probably more than most people drink. And then at that point in time, instead of getting angry at them, don't get angry at yourself. Just take it as a lesson and say, you know what? I got to get out of this, because most alcoholics, unless they really are committed to getting better, they have to be committed to getting better. It's like anybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, I work with folks throughout my years, regardless whether it's a lawyer or a counselor, and if they don't want to get better, they're not going to get better. I mean, there are millions of alcoholics, I'm sure, that have gotten better. I'm not saying that. I'm saying if you don't want to get better, you won't. You know, exactly. That's all I'm saying. And when you see that a person won't get better because they don't want to get better, then at that point in time, you have to not get mad, but just look at the truth of the situation with no lies on the line. That's what I did this morning. I was sitting there looking at the truth of what really was going on with me. And y'all, to get down to the, that's why I offer my services to those that are interested, because I help you get to the truth. The truth will set you free. And the truth of what you're really feeling down and deep in there, that's what's going to set you free. Now, sometimes it's hard sometimes to get down there. I mean, would you not agree, Reverend Sandy, that it's hard sometimes to get the truth?
It's very hard. And I used to look down on alcoholics. Mm-hmm. And several other things people would do, but I'm here to testify to you now that we should never, ever, ever, ever put ourselves above anybody else to the point where we feel like we can look down on them. All of us walking this earth are on a journey, and we all have enough to overcome and enough imperfections that we should not look down on other people. From my experience, for anything, and that's short of harming another person purposely. I don't mean the evil kind of things, but from my experience, alcoholics are people who are in a lot of emotional pain. They drink to cover that pain. However, they need to realize that they do. If they're doing things that are not in character for them, if they're doing harmful things they wouldn't do when they're sober, they are responsible that they took the first drink. And if you keep causing somebody else emotional pain, drinking, drugs, nothing is going to cover your pain, because your karma comes back on you. So we all have to, alcoholic, that person living with alcoholic, you have to take responsibility to take care of yourself, or you can't take care of others. You can't be good to others. So anyway, moderation in all things, including drink.
No, I agree. And then, you know, it doesn't matter what the situation is. We all have issues. We all have to deal with them. And I didn't mean to single out alcoholics. It's just that I had had an experience that I had never known before. I had never known any. I'd never known what drinking all day long looked like. I didn't know what that did. I did not understand it. And it requires a tremendous amount of understanding. And I think that's through that experience. And by the way, when someone does drink a lot, they are trying to hide their emotions, just like eating all day long would for me. If I sat there and ate all day long, I used to, I don't do it anymore. But if I was upset, I might eat something. And I've learned not to do that because that, again, is damaging to the body, just like too much alcohol or too many drugs or whatever. It would all be damaging to the body. So it's
exactly.
And it's
hard. Well, do you not think that somebody who keeps staying with an alcoholic and keeps being abused and going without and seeing their children harmed, don't you think that's also a habit? It's
yes,
I think
it
the
yes,
I don't like to use the terms the mental health system uses, but they call that enabler. That can be even more devastating of a habit or whatever word you want to use for it than the alcoholism itself. And I think in any situation, we have to realize that we have to respect ourselves, take care of our bodies as temples, and respect ourselves. If we have to, if a person won't help themselves and they're being abusive or negligent, it's time to seriously consider leaving that person until and unless they do change. What do you think of that?
Well, I think you should try to get help for any situation that you're in, whether it's your own personal or if somebody you're with, you should do everything you can to assist. But I will say that as an attorney, when I know that a person has alcohol in the car and they're drinking and driving and they say that it's you know, not drinking, it's lemonade or something like that, and there's alcohol in it, you're putting your daughter at risk. And at that point in time, that's the part that I'm talking about. When stuff like that happens in our lives, we have our choices to get upset or we have our choices to say, I will never get in the car again with you, with my daughter. Well, with yourself, too. You should honor yourself well enough, too. I will not get in the car with my son or my daughter, and you know, when you are drinking. And at that point in time, that's when we can't necessarily get angry, and that's controlling our emotions again. We just have to look at it and say, oh, that person drinks and drives. Okay, well, let's see. If you're married to them or you're dating them or they're a family member, say they're your father or your mother, and they're on drugs or they're drinking and they're sitting there drinking in the car with you and they're saying that it's lemonade, or to be worse than that is they borrow a car of yours and they stash liquor underneath the seat. So if you drive it, you're going to be arrested for an open container in the car. When you have situations like that in your life, you best get control of your emotions and stop getting in the car and don't allow that person to use your car anymore. That's why I promote very strong, independent women that don't have to be dependent on men, or a strong, independent man who doesn't have to be independent on a woman or dependent on a woman. Because when you get in situations like that, that's where your emotions get upset because you lose your ability to be self-empowered. And in that moment in time, that's when the truth of when you have to look at what your life really has come to. And I've been there, Sandy,
exactly.
So I know.
You can live in hope. A person who's with a person who's addicted to either alcohol or drugs, and they do it over and over and over again and show no sign of changing, and one promise after the other that's broken, you live in hope. And if you keep just living in hope, you can end up almost dying or literally dying in despair. There comes a time when one has to get out, you know,
get
out of that
situation. And that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, with really, you know, and I love the idea of the show tonight. That was your idea, because our emotions. Now we can sit there and look back on our past too, and we can get upset about those things. And that's when we go and we get release of those. And then we start to take responsibility. It could very well be that you attracted somebody, not you personally, I'm just talking about whoever is listening, that you attracted someone in your family that had, like that example you used earlier, was alcoholic or was loud or something, and the person, and they got a divorce and everything. Maybe that the children of that family and or the wife or husband, maybe that was their soul's journey to learn to love themselves no matter what anybody else thought, even their own family, even their own mother or their own father rejected them. It could be that was the greatest test, and it could be that that parent ended up being their greatest teacher. I mean, one of my greatest teachers was a family member who just one day just said, I'm not going to have anything to do with you anymore. I believe in my religion. I'm not going to have anything else to do with you. And at that moment in time, that's when my journey of truth for who I am began. And I give them now the greatest blessings, because they gave me one of the greatest gifts I've ever had, learning to love myself. Yes. Wow. Yes.
You know, the person I mentioned earlier, she just spent years wanting to be a part, an equal part of the family, and not be treated differently. And literally, her mother and father pitted, you know, sort of split the family, and the family was brought up to look at her different, to look upon her as being daddy's, and the others were mama's kids. And finally, she came to the decision to love from a distance. There's not any grudges there, but to love from a distance and have enough respect for herself not to get back in the situation where she is just going to be hurt again. So sometimes even blood relatives, you have to love from a distance and divorce yourself from. And it can be heartbreaking if you let it, but if you just, you know, there is no distance in spirit if you don't have any bad feelings. Sometimes you have to do that for your own survival.
Well, you have to. And the other gift, though, is, and I heard you say it, the gift that you have now as your in your life, if what your soul's journey is to, in the field that you're getting into, is the uniqueness of you. Because they don't need a one of every 30 people. They need you. They need you. Uh-huh. That uniqueness of you. And so there's one of your gifts from anybody that has experienced something that's this person. You said something about them, you know, that were different. Well, what a gift. What a gift that they learned early on that they were very different. And that was hard at the beginning. But as they mature, they will learn what a great gift that family gave them, because they're uniqueness will bring them their true inner peace and their inner joy. So, but listen, you know, Reverend Sandy, I think I want to thank you, because you always have such insightful comments to make, and your life has just been very insightful. And I want to thank you for being on the Living Your Soul's Journey show tonight. And
you're welcome, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, you have a lot to comment on, and so much talent and so much expression, and your uniqueness, I just have to say, is to be honored within yourself. You are very unique in yourself. So, you know, honor that for yourself and be proud of that. And I want to just make a comment to everyone that the next 2 weeks will be on spiritual laws. They're going to be shows from talk about spiritual laws and how to understand them and how to use them in your life. And then come November, we will start a new series of shows that I will announce probably the first week in November. We'll talk about, you know, gratitude and forgiveness, and get ready for the holiday season. and will help a lot of folks, because you're going to be a lot around a lot of family, and we're going to talk about how to best deal with that as well. So I want to thank you, Reverend Sandy, and you have a blessed week. Everybody have a blessed week, and remember to honor yourself. Hi, Charlie.
Hey, that's Charlie saying goodbye.
I know he did.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Vicki.
Yes, thank you, Charlie. I love it. Y'all have a blessed week. Good night.
Welcome to Living Your Soul's Journey with Dr. Vicki every Sunday night at 4 p.m. Pacific and 7 p.m. Eastern. Are you independent, strong, full of outer confidence, but inside you feel like a failure in life and in relationships? Or do you feel together until you get into a relationship and give up your career, your dreams, even yourself? With Dr. Vicki's guidance in learning the laws of heaven and the laws of man, you can learn to stand on your own two feet and be yourself, whether in a relationship or not. Wouldn't you like to be happy, free, and be authentically you, regardless of who you're with? Dr. Vicki has learned to combine both her legal skills as an attorney and her therapy abilities as a counselor to guide you in living your soul's journey. So, if you are seeking a way to live authentically with freedom and abundance, listen each Sunday night at 4 p.m. Pacific and 7 p.m. Eastern on BBS Radio to learn how to live your soul's journey. And call in to talk with Dr. Vicki live. And now, here's our host, Dr. Vicki.